Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Mick McCarthy.
What?
Here we go. I'm typing on my Google Doc saying Morata is right. I didn't think he played in the Prem. Yes.
The point's been declared.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up, Manchester United reveal plans for a new stadium. Jim Ratcliffe claims he's no regrets over his purchase of a stake in the club. And we look ahead to tonight's last 16 second legs in the Champions League. But first,
100,000 fans. United as one. A place for glory. A place for pride. A sea of red. The loudest crowd. A majestic arena where history and future collide. A public space, a focal point, a catalyst for renewal, full of hope for our fans and community.
Manchester United have announced their hope of building a new 100,000-seater stadium as part of a wider regeneration of the Old Trafford area. United's part owner Jim Ratcliffe says their current home has fallen behind the best arenas in world sport. Foster and partners, who were behind such designs as the new Wembley and the 2022 World Cup final venue in Lusail, are behind the design concept for the new stadium. It looks a little bit like a giant circus tent. A press release describes the design as a vast umbrella harvesting energy and rainwater and sheltering a new public plaza that is twice the size of Trafalgar Square. However, Ratcliffe says they'll be leaning on public money to make their concepts a reality.
The government announced its growth plans for this term, of which there were three main pillars. There was the new runway at Heathrow, there was the Oxford-Cambridge-Silicon Valley corridor, but thirdly was the regeneration of southern Manchester, Old Trafford, which was the origins of the Industrial Revolution a couple of hundred years ago. And that regeneration scheme, if it proceeds, will be the largest regeneration scheme in Europe. And Rachel Reeves described it as a shining example of our growth plans for the country. Past governments have sponsored a number of these regeneration schemes, but they've all predominantly been in and around London. You've obviously had the Olympic Village, which Seb obviously was very much at the heart of, Canary Wharf, King's Cross, Wembley, O2, a whole series of regeneration schemes. But nothing really, there have been one or two smaller ones in the north, but nothing of the scale of what we've seen in London. But this will be of... it'd be the first of this scale in the north of England. So, with a project of this scale, a regeneration project of this scale, it needs to have a catalyst or a nucleus, otherwise it just becomes a new housing estate with a shopping centre. And the reason we're here today is that the club, Manchester United, would like to announce that we will underpin the government's growth plans with a new stadium.
The Manchester United Supporters Trust reacted to the plans for a new stadium with a series of questions for the club. They are, will it drive up ticket prices and force out local fans? Will it harm the atmosphere, which is consistently fans' top priority in the ground? Will it add to the debt burden which has held back the club for the last two decades? Will it lead to reduced investment in the playing side at a time when it is so badly needed? The unveiling of a potential new stadium follows a round of interviews by Jim Ratcliffe, in which he claimed he had no regrets over his purchase of a nearly 29% stake with the club. Among the claims made by the Ineos owner in this batch of interviews, he told BBC's Dan Rowan that United's finances were in a perilous state.
We have got a club which was in a level of financial difficulty. Manchester United would have run out of cash by the end of this year, by the end of 2025, after me having put $300 million in, and if we buy no new players in the summer, if we hadn't implemented all the cost programmes and restructurings that we have done over the last 12 months. So we have to deal with all those things. And, you know, there's only so many things you can deal with at once. So we've got a new management team, we have to deal with the financial restructuring, and then we have to move on to the squad, data analysis, and moving forward. But we're in the process of change, and it's an uncomfortable period and it's disruptive. And, you know, I do feel sympathy with the fans, but I'm not actually surprised at where we are in the league, because Ruben's only got a certain size of squad he can do. I mean, you know, quite a number of those players are either injured or they're not available to him.
Last year, United made 200 staff redundant, and this year they're seeking up to 250 further redundancies. Again, speaking to Dan Rowan, Ratcliffe claimed the redundancies are necessary.
I mean, the simple answer is the club runs out of money at Christmas if we don't do that, if we don't do those things. But ultimately, if you look at running a club the size of Manchester United with income of about £650 million, you spend a part of that £650 on operating the club and a part of it on the squad. Where do you want to spend the money? Do you want to spend it on operating the club or do you want to spend it on the squad? Because if you spend it on the squad, you get better results. And, you know, at the end of the day, what's Manchester United here for if it's not to win trophies and silverware? Mm. What we want to do is invest in the best players in the world, if we can, rather than spend it on, I'm afraid, free lunches.
Ratcliffe has also given his full backing to manager Ruben Amorim, saying the squad he inherited is not up to snuff.
I think Ruben is an outstanding young manager. I really do. I think he's an excellent manager and I think he'll be there for a long time.
But he's lost 10 matches in 25 or so games. I mean, you're down in 14th. This is historically bad. Decades have passed since
I think if
United
you look at the squad he's got at his disposal, with the injury list he's got at his disposal, and he comes in mid-season where he's had no time to train the players in his style of play, I think he's done really well. And I think you're beginning to see a glimpse of what Ruben can produce. I think you saw a glimpse of it yesterday against Arsenal. I mean, look at that game against Arsenal yesterday. How many of those players on the bench did you recognise? How many of those players on the bench have ever worn a Manchester United shirt in the first? Because there's no squad left. We're down to, you know, the last 10 or 11 men in the squad, really, of proper first-team players. No, I think Ruben's doing a super job.
How much money will he have to spend in the summer to reinforce the squad and get the players he needs to play in the way he wants to? Or does that depend on selling players as well?
It's a combination. There will be a budget for him, and I'm not going to reveal that. But obviously that budget changes depending upon who we may choose to sell, because that would supplement the budget.
Coming soon to your Off the Ball podcast feed.
I'm nervous and always will use tear gas.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, Jesus.
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
Saying we won after your team's won a football game is like saying I had sex after I'm watching porn.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Local, that's me, okay?
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as Narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things all the way through Latin America.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
Available soon for free on the OTB app.
Luis Enrique says he's very optimistic about PSG's abilities to get a result tonight at Anfield. The French champions go to the Premier League leaders a goal down from a first leg that they dominated. Liverpool boss Arne Slot says they need to be better on the ball tonight.
Now, of course, we're hoping that we will have more of the ball than we had last week. But again, if you saw them playing, they are very intense when they don't have the ball. Which led to them creating a few chances as well, because they took the ball away from us when we had build up, and that led to a few chances. But in the 87th minute, when the ball was at Alisson, they moved forward with a lot of players. We played it long and they were open where we could score our goal. And when I watched the game back, I saw many moments that if a few of our players would have done better, then that could have led to us creating chances. I also know from my experience, because normally my team is doing what Paris Saint-Germain is doing, that every other manager always says, yeah, we could have done better in these transition moments. But the thing is, they did exhaust us a bit more than I wanted, with them constantly pressing us. Yeah, if you then get the ball, sometimes you're a bit too tired to make the perfect execution. And that's why it would be useful for us to have the ball a bit more. And if we have the ball a bit more, hopefully the game opens up also a bit more for us. We know we can do better than last week, but I don't agree with people that said that we had a poor performance. because I do feel that you don't give the right credits to the team that deserves those credits, and that's what Paris Saint-Germain deserved last week. They were incredible last week.
Slot's been asked about his side having to defend a lead versus building upon it.
So is there a difference? No. We try to play every game, try to win. That's also what we tried to do last week. It wasn't our intention to be so low all the time. We wanted to have a different game than we played over there, but sometimes the other team, with the help of their fans or their... Yeah, we both saw what happened. So tomorrow we want to play a different game, but our intentions are always the same. We're not going to go for a draw, or we just want to win every single game, and we want to have the ball as much as we can. At City away, that wasn't the situation. At Paris Saint-Germain, that wasn't the situation. We do take confidence from our home game against City, where we did have the ball much more, and it was much more of an equal game than it was the away game at City. And of course, everybody is writing about 27 shots, and that's also what I saw. But if you put all 27 shots in a row, it's not that all 27 were amazing saves of Alisson. He had two or three incredible saves, but most of their shots were from outside the 18-yard box.
Kickoff at Anfield is 8 o'clock. At the same time, Inter will resume 2-0 up at home to Robin van Persie's Feyenoord. Bayern Munich take a 3-0 lead to Bayer Leverkusen. It'll be a bit tighter between Barcelona and Benfica, with Barca 1-0 up ahead of their home leg tonight. That one kicks off at 5:45. Evan Ferguson left the London Stadium frustrated yet again as West Ham were beaten 1-0 by Newcastle in the Premier League. The Ireland striker was sent on with 20 minutes to go and 6 minutes after Bruno Guimaraes had fired Newcastle ahead. However, a near total lack of service left Ferguson without the means of levelling the game for the hosts. Rocco Vatta's expected call-up to the Ireland senior squad may not be as done a deal as many expected. Heimir Hallgrímsson will reveal his squad for the Nations League playoff against Bulgaria on Thursday, and the Watford playmaker is widely expected to be included. But according to reports in Albania, Vatta is yet to respond to his Ireland call-up. The 19-year-old has also received an invitation to join the Albanian under-21 squad, but that has been rejected. And Bulgaria will arrive into Dublin later this month amid considerable turbulence. The Bulgarian Football Association has not accepted the resignation of manager Ilyan Ilyev. According to reports in Bulgaria, an EGM of the BFU's executive committee will formally give its backing to Ilyev for the Nations League playoff against Ireland. The vice president of the Bulgarian Football Federation says Ilyev tendered his resignation a little too hastily.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.